The shepherds told everyone the message that they had heard about this child. It's God's hidden plan is what we see in this reading, one that many in the world miss because they're not listening to the right voice. They aren't tuned into what's really going on. There is one reality on earth and one reality in the afterlife. No matter, there's a plethora of beliefs in the world today, but there's only one reality after death. And God's secret plan that we are privileged to look and see through the eyes of Mary today. I often like to look ahead and see what people think is going to be coming in the world, whether it's political, financial, spiritual, what the Pope's going to say. I read these things. I'll tell you, the prognosticators usually get it wrong. For proof of that, would anybody here believe it's possible that down at Costco gas is $2.05 a gallon? Was there one, I love this word, one prognosticator that predicted that? Can you think of anybody? See how things don't turn out the way we expect them to. I've got a hybrid. I never care much about the price of gas. I'm waiting to fill it up. I've got one gallon left because if I wait a week, it may go down somewhere. How about that? But when we look through the eyes of Mary, what does she see? See, we find her, especially in the Gospel of Luke, she keeps these things in her heart and ponders them. She had a vision of an angel, and once she saw the angel, the world was never the same for her. She saw the world to come. It was real before her eyes. Now, Mary, no doubt, had great faith. Otherwise, the Lord would not have chosen her. He prepared her by her upbringing and the things that occurred in her life prior to actually having it expressed to her. God, like all of us, arranges certain things. Some things are, I don't know if you call it chance, but God makes use of what happens to us in our daily lives. But God also wills certain things so that we will have tools for our own lives going forward, sometimes as suffering. Mary had it, of course, the same as us. She knew her Torah and she knew the things of God. But then when she saw the angel, the world is never the same. She knows exactly what God is asking of her, and there's no guesswork. That is a costly knowledge, because she's asked to suffer a great deal, and she can't say she didn't know. So as she sees that it is also God's will, which she did not know at the Annunciation, that she would give birth in a stable. Nobody wants this. Jesus would be laid in a feeding trough. Nobody wants this. Yet this was God's will, and she ponders what sort of child she has given birth to. What kind of king is this? What kind of savior that he would be born in such poverty and obscurity? And even today, he is to be found in obscurity and poverty. What I mean is that people tend to find him when they're missing something, when we are at a loss, when we're suffering, when we don't have the answers, when the world doesn't make sense, we turn to God. The world does not see God by itself. We can only go so far without revelation. I think if any group came closest to it, aside from the Jews, of course, who had revelation, it would be the ancient Greeks in Western culture, who, if you read Aristotle and Plato, you can see that they were approaching the idea of one God and some of his attributes based on what they could see in the world around them. This is what God intended for us to do. In many ways, we've lost that art today. It's funny, we live in an age that we have such incredible scientific wonders. You probably received a few under the tree this year, and yet we can be so blind. Scientism, the belief that there is nothing beyond the five senses, is completely wrong. It's completely blind. The Archangel Gabriel is proof of that, and so are many of the near-death experiences people in our parish have experienced, they've shared with me. We get these intimations of the future. Mary really saw that. So when she sees these shepherds coming, she knows that God is going to speak to people in humility, in poverty, in the least likely individual is going to be the one carrying the message. The shepherds were the lowest caste in that culture, and yet this is the one the angels came to, not to the chief rabbis and things. He wants it this way so that everybody has a role and participates in that. The world, as I said, is a fallen place. There's no shortage of examples of that in our world. The one that really struck me is one, I don't have a clue what this is, so I have to forgive me, but I don't have kids and I don't play with these things, but I know a lot of people got a PlayStation from Sony that's under the tree. Anybody here know about this? Nobody? What a crowd here, I think. Huh? Yeah, okay, so, and what's the Xbox is the other one, I think, and both of these were hit by a hacker. And so the kids on Christmas Day were unable to play with these things. And the reason that they gave was for the fun of it. You see, that's that kind of thing. Well, that's trivial compared to what happens in the world. That's exactly the fallen nature of our world, that people take joy in harming others, in showing what power they can exert over others for their own sake. This pride and a lack of knowledge of what God wants us to do. What in the world should we be doing in the new year? I always ask myself this question. I'm trying to come up with my usual, I don't call them resolutions, but things I'm aiming for. I used to always aim for not to complain anymore. Doesn't work. It's my nature. But there are things that perhaps God wants us to do with him. What project does he want us to undertake? We're all doing, it's almost a dated image now that the building is up, but we're all doing a spiritual building project. And the Lord is the general contractor. He's the architect. He's the designer. But we have to do the work with him. What is it that's missing in the building that he wants us to work on? It won't be what the world says we should be doing. He's not going to put first on our list to lose weight or to get more money or even to be more thrifty. Or it's more what is separating me from God. Once I have the knowledge of God, once I am able to live in the power of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit will be speaking to us more and more throughout the day. What's impeding me from hearing God in the world around me? Am I thinking only in the five senses? Or am I like the shepherds, allowing God to speak to me in extraordinary and ordinary ways through the church teaching, through Mass, through the sacraments, and through our experiences of life? God will be constantly speaking, and we too, like Mary, are called to ponder it in our hearts. It usually takes me about a week to figure out what I'm aiming for in the year, and then I also take some time at the end of the year to see what kind of successes the Lord and I have had. It's very important when examining how we've done to also look at the victories and not just the defeats. That's very discouraging, and that's not what God wants us to do. I try to do an examination of conscience every night. Last night I fell asleep in my chair, so he didn't get one. But it's a sign of advancing age, I think. Or extreme exhaustion because of the last 2 weeks. But in looking at our conscience, like Mary, and pondering, we're looking at both the victories and the areas that need improvement. But again, I think the thing that's most critical in looking at something that God may want us to work on in private with him is, what is the one thing that may be separating me from God? Is it a lack of prayer, a lack of charity toward others, a lack of outreach? Am I open to God? Am I prideful? Must I always have my own way? Do I speak to God every day? Is it some habitual sin that I have not tried to work on at all? Am I selfish? These are the kind of things that block the Spirit, and then we can't hear him. We go back to the five senses, remembering that without that spiritual sense, we really are blind in going through the world. So Mary, while she had that extraordinary vision, after the angel came, she remembered what had happened to her. I doubt she had visions of angels all her life, although I do not know. But in the ordinary circumstances of life, she never forgot that extraordinary moment because she knew, without a doubt, this is what's really real. This is coming, and everything I'm doing is preparing for that and preparing my son, who is the Son of God. We too are in exactly the same boat, that God is preparing us for an extraordinary future. It is very great, no matter what happens in the world this year. And so we are people who should be full of hope, but also ones that know where we're going and can truly ask God, what is it that you and I are going to be working on together, which without you I cannot do, but with you nothing is impossible for God.